In the gospel reading today, we hear two things. First of all, the fact that Jesus calls St. Matthew to follow him. Simply just walks up and says, "Follow me." St. Matthew drops everything and follows him. Pretty astounding point at which we recognize, obviously, that there was something that touched Matthew deeply. Just simply saying, "Follow me," it's like, for what? Why? So there had to be something much, much deeper. And we recognize that in the fact that Matthew then turns around and invites his friends, his tax collectors, and the other people that he was out doing sinful things with. He's got them over at dinner the very, well, we don't know exactly what day it was, but pretty quickly after his conversion. And so he had recognized the mercy of God, the forgiveness of his sin, the redemption of his soul, and that obviously changed his entire life. And he wanted others to have the same and was willing to talk to them about it. But then we hear our Lord at the end of the gospel saying that I didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners. So we look at the first reading and St. Paul says that he urges us to live in a manner worthy of the call that we have received. God didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners. And you and I have been called. So we know where that places us. We can all say, I suspect with St. Paul, that when it comes to sinners, I myself am the worst, as he likes to point out. But when we read the other saints, they all say the same thing. But we have to understand that if we see ourselves as somehow being righteous, and there are lots of self-righteous people running around, that number one, we don't need Jesus because we're righteous all by ourselves. And number two, we aren't going to receive his call because he didn't come to call the righteous. He came to call sinners. And so it is in the acknowledgement of our sinfulness, of our need for the Lord, that we recognize the mercy of God given to us. And that's what makes us want to change our lives. And that's what makes us want to bring that message to others. It's not something that we say, okay, well, I found this, and so it's mine, and I just want it for myself. The reality is your family members and friends are going to recognize the change that's happened in your life. And then you have an opportunity to tell them why. Many of them, if they're not willing to listen, they don't want to change their lives, they're going to walk away from you. They're not going to want anything to do with you. They're going to think you're crazy or whatever it might be. But nonetheless, we still have that opportunity to give witness. And we don't know whose heart we might touch by being able to tell them about the Lord, by being able to tell them that their sins too can be forgiven, that mercy can be extended to them, that they too can have the hope of eternal life. All the things that would make such a difference to us, they can make that same difference for others. So St. Paul, in pointing out this manner of the call, doesn't tell us immediately that we're supposed to go out and start preaching. He simply says, live in a manner worthy of the call you received. Then talks about humility and gentleness and patience and bearing with one another and striving for peace and the charity and all the other things. So in other words, if we have chosen the Lord, the reality is we've been chosen by the Lord, but if we have made that choice as well, to be able to say, I want to live in the Lord, that means we have to change our lives. It's not enough to say that I believe in Jesus. Now I need to live according to the call that I've received. Each one of us needs to recognize that somehow or another, in God's mysterious way, he has looked at you and me and said, follow me. Just like he did with Matthew. Obviously, it was a little more obvious with Matthew, but some of you may have had some kind of extraordinary conversion experience. God essentially smacked you over the head somehow or another and woke you up, and you can say that was the point. Well, maybe you didn't hear him say, "Follow me," but he did something that let you know that this is what you have to do. And praise God, you're doing it. But now what we want to be able to do is to say, all right, now I need to take that foundation, the call that is there, the choice I have made to follow the Lord, and now I need to put it into practice. Not just giving him lip service, but changing my life so that I'm living a truly virtuous life. You do that, you're preaching to everybody without saying a word. If you live a holy life, people will recognize it. Again, many will reject it because they don't want anything to do with it. But many are going to be attracted to it without even knowing what it is that they're being attracted to, or in this case, who they're being attracted to. Because it's not us, it is the Lord. And that's the beauty of it. If we're truly living a holy life, we're not attracting people to ourselves. We're attracting them beyond ourselves. We're showing to them why we are living this way. Yeah, on the natural level, it's a good way to live. But we don't just want to be ethical pagans. We want true holiness. And the true holiness can come only from the Lord and lead us to the Lord, and that's what people are going to see. So you have received a call similar to St. Matthew. That within that call, St. Paul says, you know, some are apostles and prophets and evangelists and teachers. So there's a call within the call, whatever God is asking of you. But that primary call was to follow him. And that call hasn't changed no matter what it is that he's asking you to do. Regardless, it is to follow him. That doesn't mean just simply walk after him. That means to walk in his footsteps, to follow his way of holiness, to live a truly holy life.